Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in the United Kingdom, but in Europe, Asia, the Americas, Australasia, and I believe even in Antarctica. But also to welcome to the show this week four highly skilled and experienced exponents of comedy who have joined me tonight. We welcome that master of improvised comedy, Paul Merton, that master of outrageous comedy, Graham Norton, that master of ad-lib comedy, Barry Cryer, and that master of erudite comedy, Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the Centre of Broadcasting House. And before us, we have a fine cosmopolitan audience drawn from all parts of the greater metropolis here of London. And we're going to begin the show this week with Paul Merton. And Paul, the subject is name dropping. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I hate name dropping, and funnily enough, so does Princess Margaret. Like me, she thinks it's a vulgar, horrible habit. Mel Gibson's very much the same. And you'll find that there are a number of people, like Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, the Queen, Princess Andrew.
Norton, you challenged.
Two princesses.
Yes, there were two princesses.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And Princess Andrew, I thought. Andrew.
Have you not heard? Have you not heard the news?
No. Oh, no.
Where was the operation?
Well, my goodness me. Yes. Graham, a correct challenge. So you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, which is name-dropping, and you have 44 seconds, starting now.
My career at the Garden Centre was a short and unhappy one. I was given a large pile of garden names to...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two gardens.
Yes.
That's correct.
Right. Clement, a correct challenge, a point to you. You have the subject name-dropping, 37 seconds available, starting now.
I quite like geographical name-dropping, New York, Delhi, New Orleans, two news.
Paul, you were the first to challenge.
There was two news.
There were two news in the audience spot as well, so they all applauded together. Right. 31 seconds still available for you. Back with name-dropping, starting now.
Anthony Wedgwood Benn dropped several parts of his name many years ago. He is now, of course, known as Tony, the name I mentioned earlier. And he did this...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of name.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. So, Paul, another correct challenge. Another point to Clement. 21 seconds now. Name-dropping Clement, starting now.
Monopoly is really all about name-dropping. Park Lane, Mayfair... Piccadilly, Regent Street, Vine Street.
Paul challenge.
A repetition of street.
Yes. It's impossible, isn't it? Paul, you have name dropping back again. You have another point and have 14 seconds starting now.
Nicholas was telling me just before the show that somebody has registered my name on the internet as paulmerton.com. It isn't me, it's somebody else. But what I can do is I can claim my own nomenclature back if I contact this company.
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton who has the most points at the end of that round. Clement Freud has two. Graham Norton has one. Bad is yet to get any, but we have heard from him.
But I apologise for hogging the game.
And that's right. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject, very apt for London, Big Ben. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
In Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for £100, you are likely to get a question... Is Big Ben Tiny Tim?
Barry Crouch.
That was me, I was wrong. It was repetition of what is on the card.
No, it was hesitation.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I meant. Sorry. I had an impediment in my challenge, no. Sorry. Hesitation, that's what I meant
absolutely,
to say.
Yes, because you haven't faded as much as the others. Right, Barry is well spotted. and you have a point for a correct challenge, and you have 52 seconds. Tell us something about Big Ben, starting now.
I was under the impression that Big Ben was the name of the bell, not the clock. But regardless of that, it's a very symbol of our nation. To me, Big Ben is Ben Travers, a master farceur, author of plays that ran at the Aldwych Theatre many years ago, starring stars of the... Nya Man!
Graham, you challenge first.
Nya Man! Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Repetition of the... Nyam! Nyam, nyam.
Graham, you have a correct challenge, and you have
this. Yes. I thought that might have been a word. I might have been very wrong there.
No. You have. It was a hesitation because it was a stumble, and we interpret that as hesitation. 34 seconds are available for you to tell us something about Big Ben, starting now.
Big Ben is one of my happiest memories from my first trip to London. I often wonder what became of him. At the time, he was a waiter in Crouch End. We corresponded for a while and then nothing. Typical. If Big Ben is listening now, do get in touch. It'd be lovely to see you because I'm sure you're old and time is our friend. And I'm sure you're rather wizened now, Ben.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two shores.
Yes.
And a little bitter.
Clement, you've got him with 6 seconds to go on Big Ben, starting now.
You can look at it and nearly always get the correct time.
Graham, you challenged.
He stopped.
I know he did.
I did 6 seconds.
You didn't. You only did 4 seconds.
That's right. The time was on Big Ben.
No. We worked a Big Ben time, and you did 4 seconds. And there's 2 seconds still available for you, Graham, with another correct challenge starting now.
Big Ben.
And Port Clement challenge.
Hesitation.
No. The crowd has spoken.
Right. Only half a second. You've got 1.5 seconds on Big Ben, Graham, starting now.
Big Ben is not the name of the limbo.
So Graham Norton's plea from the heart got him points because he was interrupted. And he also got one for speaking as the whistle went. So he has moved into the lead at the end of that round. And Barry Cryer...
How am I doing, Nick?
You're doing well. You're doing well. You've got 1 point. And you take the next
round.
When
was that?
When you challenged for hesitation.
Oh, yes,
that
that's right.
Challenge of yours.
I owe you. Right.
Right. You have my obsession now, which is a subject, and you begin with it, and you start now.
I feel the shade of Victor Meldrew over me. My obsessions are aversions, paper clips that intertwine and enmesh with each other when you leave them in a drawer, wire coat hangers abhorred by Joan Crawford, the sticky tape whose name rhymes with hello that has no beginning and no end and wraps round your fingers. You have no idea where it's going.
Clement Freud challenge.
Three no's.
There were two no's, three what? No's, actually. No beginning, no end.
Really?
Yes.
I must listen when I talk.
Okay, yes. So, Clement, you've got in with 37 seconds on my obsession, starting now.
My obsession is disliking people who wear Dr. Scholl or any other therapeutic sandal. I do feel if someone has something wrong with their feet, it ought to be personal between them and the things at the bottom of their legs. Restaurant waiters and waitresses occasionally are shod in this sort of gear, and I dislike it enormously. It is my obsession to call the manager and complain. I shall not eat oxtail with...
Barry, you challenged.
Hesitation, may
yes,
I venture?
Yes,
may
you,
I venture?
You ventured correctly. He did hesitate, and you got him with 5 seconds to go on my obsession, starting now.
Speaking earlier of those triangular objects on which you hang your clothes in a wardrobe...
Paul Burton Chan.
Now, did he say hang before?
I said hangers.
Hangers before.
Oh, did he really?
Hangers, yeah.
Oh, I was just wondering to myself, really.
You were just musing.
I was musing.
Musing
wrongly.
But, Barry, you've had a wrong challenge, so you've got another point, and you have 1 second left on my obsession starting now.
My obsession that overrode.
So, Barry Cryer, with points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has truly leapt forward, and you are now in second place, Barry. Yes, you're one behind Graham Norton, who's still in the lead, and you're one ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud, who are equal in third place.
This cannot be.
Graham Norton, your turn to begin. The subject is The Common Cold. Will you tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
Each winter I dread getting the common cold. I long for a sophisticated infection, or perhaps an exotic flu, because that's the sort of thing you can cure in a fun way. The common cold is presumably cured by common things like boiled meat and white bread. Ugh, I say. I went to the doctor once. His name was Dr. Michaels.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Two doctors.
Two doctors, yes. There was only one doctor there, but you said it twice. Paul, you've got in with 36 seconds on the common cold, starting now.
Well, famously, it's one of those things they still can't cure, despite the fact somewhere out in Shropshire or Lancashire, some such place, they infect people with the common cold virus every winter to see if they can cure them of it.
Graham Norton Challenge.
Repetition of cure?
The common cure.
I could be wrong!
No, you're quite right. You're quite right. You could actually have had a deviation, because after 35 years, they actually closed the place down.
Did they?
They couldn't find a cure.
Oh. I've not been following the story as closely as you, Nicholas.
You know, I tell you something. People were invited to have a holiday there, and they were given a holiday in these chalets, given the cold, and had to enjoy themselves in like a, sort of like a leisure centre with a cold. And that was their holiday. And they got a cold, and that didn't cost them a penny.
And it shut down, you say?
Because they couldn't cure it. There's so many different strains and so many different reasons and so many different emotional reasons why the common cold is induced. Right.
Emotional reasons?
Emotional reasons. Yes, emotional. If you're sometimes very distressed, sometimes you induce a cold within yourself.
Nurse, he's out of bed again.
Right. Those with psychological knowledge might appreciate what I've just been saying, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. Who challenged was a long time ago. Cure, who was it?
Me.
You, right. Graham. 24 seconds, the common cold starting now.
A lot of people don't realise there are so many strains of the common cold, and you catch it for many reasons, including emotional and psychological.
Barry Crowe challenge.
Repetition of many.
There were too manys.
But still, I was very interesting, wasn't I, Nicholas? Yes. I was saying really interesting things, wasn't I?
I wanted you to go on. Yes, so interesting.
Everything I was saying was very true.
Yes.
I feel a churl for interrupting you, Graham.
But you've got 70... Another point, Barry, in 17 seconds, the common cold starting now.
As I speak or try to, my proboscis is akin to a tap. My body is the wrong way round. My feet smell and my nose run.
Clement Foy challenge.
Three mice.
Mice. My
Did
feet?
I do a lot of mice
yes,
there?
Yes, my feet, my proboscis.
Oh, my. My goodness.
Right. 10 seconds, the common cold, Clement, starting now.
The common cold is a pretty down-market disease. Influenza is the sort of thing.
Paul Burton Charles.
Is the common cold a disease?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. What's a disease and what's an illness?
I don't think it's a disease.
Well, I don't know, because some people call it a disease, some call it an illness. I would call
Which
it an illness.
Which one's right, though, Nicholas?
I don't know.
Nicholas, you know everything about the common cold.
Not since that place closed down.
I tell you what I'm going to do. It's one of those lovely occasions when I'm going to put it to the wisdom of our superior wisdom of our audience. God. So if you agree with Paul's challenge that it is not a disease but an illness, you cheer for him. And if you disagree, then you all boo for him and you all do it together now.
Boo.
It's an illness. And you win, Paul. And you have 4 seconds on the common cold starting now.
Coughs and sneezes spread diseases was one of the things they used to say in the war.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now taken the lead again ahead of Graham Norton and Barry Crowe and Clement Freud in that order. And Paul, your turn to begin. And the subject is, if walls had ears... Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, clearly I blame the architect. Something's gone wrong there in the blueprint. It's like having a mouth on your front door. And who amongst us here would not want to have an oral cavity on our portal? It would be very useful to tell the postman whether you're in or out. It would be a wonderful... It would be...
Clement Freud challenge.
Three woods.
Woods, yes. It would, you would, you would. And, Clement, you've got him with 46 seconds. If walls had ears, starting now.
If walls had ears, why on earth do they go on making ice cream? That's what I would like to know.
Graham Nott, new challenge for us.
Were you still muttering quietly? I thought you'd stopped.
39 seconds for you, Graham, on If Walls Had Ears, starting now.
If walls had ears, paintings would be so much easier to hang. However, the downside of that is that cleaning would be such a chore. Oh, you could dust the dado rail to your heart's content, but then out would come the Q-tips, and you'd be up and down on a ladder, varicose veins throbbing, going through them, double-heading. It would be hell, I feel, if walls had ears. Therefore, I say, let's stick with nails and hammers for...
Clement Freud challenge.
We've had nails before.
Did I say nails?
No.
Oh, maybe we did, Clement.
No, he didn't, because you said it would be so much easier to hang them. You didn't say hung.
Well, I'm against hanging as well.
An incorrect challenge, Graham, so you still have 9 seconds on If Walls Had Ears, starting now.
If walls had ears, I wouldn't have to spend so much of my time with a big glass pressed against the wall of my neighbour's house. Ooh, their fights are fantastic.
So Graham Norton, with his walls having ears, gained a number of points in the round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he has moved forward. He's now in the lead ahead of Paul Merton. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, keeping a diary. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I think I'd stick to Frisians, because they do give by far the best.
Paul, you challenge.
Dyslexia.
55 seconds, keeping a diary, starting now.
I started to keep a diary when I was about 15 years old. It was full of the usual stuff that you write when you're that sort of age. Was that age twice?
Graham challenge.
The M. It seemed to be hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation. 47 seconds. Graham, tell us something about keeping a diary, starting now.
The only diary I ever kept was when I was on a foreign exchange trip in France in 1987. Before I went, I think I'd read a little too much Jane Austen. Therefore, it was full of expressions like suffice to say and needless to add.
Barry Crouch.
I know two's a little word, but there are a lot of them.
It was right, yes. You haven't won...
Pantos come early.
You haven't won many friends with that challenge,
Barry. No, I know.
But it is a correct one, and when the rules are just a minute, you are entitled to have it. So, you have the subject. You have 30 seconds. Keeping a diary, starting now.
On the subject of keeping a diary, Mae West, that great oracle, uttered the wonderful remark, keep a diary and it will also, the same word, you. Famous... I deserve that.
Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation,
yes, there was a hesitation, yes. You waited for the big laugh, but it didn't unfortunately happen.
Well, I'm sure you know that sensation.
He's been waiting for one laugh since 1948.
I set myself up for it, but therefore that's what it's all about. 18 seconds for you, Paul, keeping a diary, starting now.
Unfortunately, when I looked back on it a few years later, I realised it was full of very trite, banal observations, not really worth sharing with myself at all. This is, of course, the problem when you decide to keep a diary, is that your thoughts aren't at all interesting to you or anybody else.
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has retaken the lead, one ahead of Graham Norton, and they're both a few points ahead of Barry Crowe and Clement Freud in that order. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, chairing a panel game. I'm very nervous of this subject. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Apparently the Russians have trained a baboon. It didn't take very long, about 4 or 5 months, and it took to it very well indeed. Very pleasant little chap. There's an orangutan in Norway that hosts a show who's a great favourite with the crowd. It seems it doesn't take any particular skill, charisma, talent whatsoever. But then, of course, we look at our esteemed chairman, Nicholas Parsons, and we realise that all of the above is true. He's a wonderful chairman. I've said chairman 3 times now.
You were being so insulted, they just let you go on, you see. So, Clement, you challenged.
He repeated chairman.
He did indeed repeat. Yes, because chairman's not in the card, chairing is. So, Clement, will you talk on the subject of chairing a panel game? 32 seconds starting now.
There are six people in front of the audience, and I wonder who would be useful at chairing a panel game. Looking around...
Paul, you challenge.
Well, he was trying to do two senses at the same time, looking and talking, and the talking stopped.
That's right.
Hesitation.
And he looked and paused, and you picked it up first. Hesitation. And you'd want 23 seconds. I wish you hadn't got it to get back again, because after what you've just said. But carry on. Chairing a panel game starting now.
There's a mongoose in Montreal that's got a marvellous job, and everybody flocks to these shows and says, well, it's absolutely wonderful that these creatures from the animal kingdom can be trained up in this marvellous...
Graham Norton.
No, I might be wrong. Might be wrong. In fact, I think I am. I was going to say repetitive trained.
Yes, I think...
But trained up, you see. Trained up might be a word.
No, it isn't. It's two words.
Okay.
And there are 11 seconds. Chairing a panel game, Graham, starting now.
Who could realise how difficult it is to chair a panel game until you see our esteemed chair, Nicholas Parsons, doing it, making fabulous decisions like giving it to me?
Thank you for redressing the balance there, Graham. And you only got 1 point.
I think he was being sarcastic.
Shh. Well, don't worry, because next time you're on the show, we're going to have a baboon here being the chairman and see how many points you get then.
Well, I'm willing to give it a go. Should we put it to the audience?
I don't know. I can't win at this, can I? But anyway, Graham Norton, speaking as a whisperer, you've got an extra point. You move forward. You're just 3 points behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead, and Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a good hand. Tell us something about a good hand in this game, starting now.
If you have a good hand, you could go in for the transatlantic single-handed race, which I've always wondered why lots of people don't compete in. At bridge, which is a card game, a good hand would consist of an ace, king, queen, jack, ten, and eight other cards of the same suit, which would enable you...
Barry Crouch.
I'm very wary. I think there was a hesitation there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No.
No, no, no. I don't think so. You got very close to it.
Yes.
Sort of teetering on it, but didn't quite...
I played King Rat in pantomime this year. I think it's rubbing off.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean, but anyway...
I believe that, Nicholas. Yes.
37 seconds, another point to you, Clement. A good hand starting now.
A good hand is likely to be either your left or right, with five fingers and nails attached. Manicurists will tell you all about it because they use buffers and drills.
Paul Charles.
Drills. Manicurists use drills on your hands?
They are actually little drills, but they buff. The drills actually do the buffing.
It's more of a... That's like a buffer rather than a drill.
Yeah, but it,
wait
it,
for it.
It is a drill. It's just a drill that buffs. I disagree with your challenge, Paul.
Okay.
And Clement has another point. And 24 seconds on a good hand, starting now.
If you've been dealt a good hand by God or whoever is above, then everything is terrifically well for you. The sun shines, your wife is faithful, children bring home really nice people for dinner who use knives and forks and spoons where others just deploy their hands to shovel ground.
Graham Norton challenge.
Oh, no, very bad thing, very bad thing. I heard hand, and I'd forgotten what the subject was, and... Oh, deviation! It must have been deviating if I'd forgotten what the subject was. I'm clutching at straws, but still.
I think you are, because I think he was talking about the good hand that God had dealt this person, and he was illustrating it, I think, quite coherently. And so, once again, Clement has the benefit of the doubt.
Fair
Next
enough.
Time you might have the benefit. And it's 3 seconds with you still, Clement, a good hand, starting now.
In the United States, a farm labourer might be called a good hand.
So Clement Roy speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point as well as others in the round. He's moved forward, but he's still in third place. And we're moving into the final round. So let me give you the score as we do. Paul Merton's still in the lead, just ahead of Graham Norton, who's just ahead of Clement Freud, who's just ahead of Barry Cryer, in that order. But there's a few points separating first and last. And this is the last round, as I said before. Graham, it is your turn to begin.
All right.
Don't be inhibited, Barry, because it's the contribution that's important, not the point.
Do you patronise as a hobby, or is it a living?
No, I never patronise. I just like to give out warmth and love and affection to people who are talented. Right.
Well, give me some as well. Right.
Graham, take the last round. It is power dressing. I don't know whether you've done any of it yourself, but talk about it in this game starting now.
My mother loved power dressing. She would simply pour some battery acid over lettuce and scallions and beetroot and egg and say, "Look, darlings, it's power dressing." The great boon of this disgusting dish was that the lazy cow didn't have to make any pudding. That's the sort of upbringing I had. Yes, we'd all lie there kind of groaning over the power dressing. Nothing on television would distract us from the extreme pain in our stomachs. Flick as we might through RTE 1 and 2. Yes, both channels available in full colour in our home. But the power dressing in the bottom of the bowl would often be drained back into something that could power something else, like a radio or car.
Two somethings.
Clement was a correct challenge, and he has 14 and a half seconds on power dressing starting now.
A vinaigrette fashioned of garlic, puree, chili, peppercorn.
Ball challenge.
There's a paragraph between each one of those. It says hesitation. Definite hesitation.
Paul, you've got him with a correct challenge. With 9 seconds, power dressing starting now.
This is something that Joan Collins did very much in her heyday in the 1980s. She would appear in these American soap operas with these massive, great shoulder pads.
So, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And now, just to give you the final situation, Barry Cryer came with his usual style and aplomb, but he only finished just in fourth place. Just behind Clement Freud, who was a few points behind Graham Norton, who was a few points even more behind Paul Merton. He has most points this week, so we say, Paul, you're the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful and outstanding players of the game, Graham Norton, Barry Cryer, Clement Freud, and Paul Merton. And also thank Janet Staplehurst for keeping the score so cleverly for us and blowing her whistle when the 60 seconds was up. And we thank Claire Jones, our producer-director, who tries to keep the situation in order and get a control of it when she possibly can. And we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who thought of the game, which we all enjoy playing so much. And we are grateful to this audience here in the Radio Theatre in London for cheering us on our way. From our audience, from our panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye. Yeah.